Hi, everybody. Nick here to introduce yet another podcast about Twitter, the website formerly known as Twitter, now known as X. Why are we doing another recording about this? It is an important website for homebrew developers to get out messages about their projects that they're working on. It's an important website for people like me who just consume games and play them to learn about the new projects that are out there. And Twitter is in a long, drawn-out kind of collapse. At least that's the way it seems to a lot of us from the outside. And so we are doing another discussion about this. This is Connor and I, who are old tech industry veterans. I used to be in the tech industry. He is still in it. We thought it would be fun to get together and have a couple of drinks and just kind of talk about things from our perspective as to what is happening to Twitter, how we feel about it, and possible substitutes for Twitter, different websites that people might gravitate towards. So this is a very long, very unstructured kind of conversation. I am probably not going to edit this very much. If you would like to hear the two of us talk about in a rather unstructured way about the fate of social media, at least as we see it, please enjoy. If not, we will be back soon with the discussion of Anguna for the 2600, the Game Boy Advance, and the Nintendo Entertainment System. Please sit back and enjoy this long, drawn-out, rambling discussion between Connor and I about X, formerly known as Twitter. It used to be, you know, everybody was on Facebook or whatever. And, you know, I used to follow all of my friends on social media. But, you know, Facebook got shitty, so nobody's on there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, Instagram. I use Instagram as like almost like a personal like photo journal, but like I don't know, maybe post a photo like once a month or something.
No, this is a really good observation because I do remember, especially where in terms of how Europeans use social media when it first came out, people would put up everything. They wouldn't care about like, oh, that's a picture of me drunk last night. They'd be like, oh my God, look how drunk I was. This is amazing, right? It was just like this funny little record of all the things you wanted to do or you were doing. And it wasn't as curated, it wasn't as like edited as mm-hmm. I think it is now. Like people wouldn't dream of being like, oh, I got totally wrecked last night drinking, put that up on Facebook, right? Like, but that's people, what people did like all the time. And even now still, I see some people do that on some social media stuff, but you know, it's just like less done. It's this really curated, edited feed now of like,
yeah.
Like this guy who I'm just talking about, he literally just, 2 days ago, we closed on a house and, you know, obviously delighted for him. But like, with the exception of photos of nature, that's the only thing in his feed, right? Because yeah. he's either taking photos of nature at the weekend or he's got a house. Like, and so like, you can't look at this person's social media and get a true insight into their life.
Right.
You can't look at them and be like, oh, now I understand what's going on, what I've been missing out on. What I should be aware of with this person's context. You just see the highlights, and specifically highlights that are very personal to what they think are nice to show.
Yeah.
And it just means social media has come a long way since LiveJournal, right? Like since we were in the days of like
right.
throwing things up like that.
I kind of miss that old Facebook though, where it was just like every day it would be like, you know, that's how I actually got to know a lot of my extended family through Facebook. Because I didn't know anything about them.
Mm.
You know, like some of my cousins and stuff like that. I hadn't seen them since they were like little kids.
Right.
And yeah, I'm like, you know, I'm friending. Like I got a cousin who's like, she's like a fucking physicist. And like she has a PhD in physics from like Washington, University of Washington or something. Like, I don't know anything about this person. But I started following her on, you know, Facebook and Instagram and learned a little bit about her. And
mm-hmm.
and through those, like we found like mutual family events that we would be going to. And, you know, we got to meet up and like have conversations. This is like one of my coolest relatives. I don't even know this person, you know, but it, and you know, just little moments like that, relationships that I've formed through social media, you know, I miss that. I feel like,
totally get that.
You know, I'm meeting people like ever since I started this, the podcast, you know, I've really poured a lot of time and effort into social media for like homebrew games. Right.
And so I also want to call out the work that you're doing, just like curating the whole community on the Discord, because that's like, I feel like that's an extension of this now, right? Like to me, Discord is social media.
Yeah. Well, no, it absolutely is. Yeah. And I do, you know, you really do have to work at that. And I mean, you know, as we're recording, I'm not I haven't been very good at that lately.
Look, I'm terrible. Like, don't get me anywhere near that. Like, but it's just the fact that, like, when you're talking about trying to seek out places where you can form those connections, the places that were that now are the biggest social media companies, they've had to sterilize that in order to be as big as they are. Like, you can't have Facebook being, you know, able to handle $1 billion of ads every 2 weeks or whatever it is.
Yeah, right.
When it's controversial and when it's like causing people disruption in their lives or making people uncomfortable, it has to be very anodyne, very sterilized, very easy to consume. I think that's what a lot of these platforms end up gravitating towards. They just become very
now
vanilla.
But you know, I mean, like in the mid-teens, you know, I think the strategy was to push whatever got engagement. Well, what got engagement was like what the stuff that made people mad.
Yes.
You know, and I can tell you, like, that's from back when I was doing social media for the company that I worked at. We'd be on YouTube or whatever. And I mean, the stuff that always got the most views was the stuff that would inflame people, you know, and get them angry.
No, this is true. I stand corrected because it's anodyne, but it's like, it's this. What I guess I mean to say is that, like, even when people are being engaged over anger, it's these very generic things, like these polarities of political parties, or like just these really like strong trying to like form these cultural tribes. It's not like, oh, my cousin got pregnant. Who got her pregnant? Oh my God, I can't believe. Like, that was stuff that I used to see on Facebook that would drive my engagement, right? Like, what the hell's going on with that family? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And like, that's completely not there, because that's not something that's like tribal going to drive engagement. It's more just like, you know, something that's an interaction between a small clique of people. If you want to get the really big engagement, you got to, you know, go to the really big polls of, you know, people's interests, which is, unfortunately, politics in the United States, at the very least.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting because, you know, I think that's one thing that Elon Musk is trying to do with Twitter or whatever it's called now. X.
Well, this is where now I feel like I can actually like start really asking you. I think this is where I want to like start it. How often do you use X right now?
Right now, so I can say, as we are recording, it is August 20th of 2023. So this is like a developing story. Okay, so it's going to be dated probably as soon as we record it. So yeah, so I guess when did he switch to X? So Twitter is dead.
Oh, yeah, it was so maybe 2 weeks ago from now.
Might have been 2 weeks ago, something like that. So from that point, I cannot even look at the fucking app. Like, I will be totally honest. Like, from the day the app changed over on my iPhone, like, I just immediately like felt this sense of revulsion looking at it. It is so stupid. And
I totally agree. I am in exactly the same situation.
It's like I'm just repelled by it, you know. And so what I did is, you know, on an iPhone, you can move apps to like different little spaces, little subfolders. Like when you click on the, you know, your app and it brings up the you've got like 9 apps that you can look at. And then you scroll to the second page of apps. Anything like past the first page of apps to me is a total dead zone. Like, I forget I even have those apps on my phone. So I moved it to the second page. As soon as it switched to X, I moved it to the second page. I moved all the other stuff. Let me see what I got on. When I pull up my social media now, I have...
I'm guessing your Threads. You seem pretty into Threads.
So I have Threads. I have Blue Sky. I have Mastodon. I have Instagram, Discord, Facebook Messenger, Facebook. Video Game Sage is on my socials. Okay. Mm,
that's a good one.
And Untapped. The beer app.
Yes, I also which, have Untapped.
I think I have one friend left on Untapped. But anybody listening to this, if you're on Untapped, you can friend me. I drink a lot of beer.
You are the 1% on Untapped.
I've been drinking less lately, but I have tried, as of this recording, 1,411 different beers on Untapped. So Nick W. Ryan.
You're telling me you didn't know you were... obsessive compulsive or
oh yeah, right. I do like my data No. Right now, X is on my second page. It is in between Meetup and Nextdoor, which are both offloaded on my phone because I never open them. So,
right.
And I will say, this was maybe this week, X, the logo, it got this like distressed look. So it looks like, you know, somebody's notebook from high school that's been all like, the cover's been, you know, bent, and you've got like little flex on it and stuff. This is the most edgelord bullshit I've ever seen. Like, this is right out of like early 2000s, 20 something guy who spends all day on 4chan if he got his own website. That's what this looks like. This is the dumbest fucking shit I've ever goddamn seen. And it is amazing to watch someone absolutely blow $44 billion to publicly wank off, you know, in the most embarrassing fucking way possible. I mean, this is, it's so stupid. And the idea that apparently he thinks this is going to be like a WhatsApp for the U.S., where you're going to do like banking through this thing and whatever. I cannot imagine. I think it's more likely that he's probably going to dump the site within the next 18 months.
So I mean, this is, I totally agree with this. I think he is totally setting this up. The moment he switched to X, that was a huge turning point in my mind.
Yeah,
because I agree. And you have seen a lot of the commentary about his particular obsession with this domain name, x.com, and how it's been this really recurring theme across all of the businesses he's run, right back to PayPal and all that stuff.
Sure. Yeah. PayPal was originally supposed to be x.com.
Exactly. But he's now an old enough guy, and he's got enough experience in business that anybody can tell you that the entire value of Twitter is its brand.
Yeah.
Everything to do with Twitter being valuable and being the center of attention is its brand.
Well, yes, but I will push back on that in a second, but you can finish your thought.
Well, just that, like, to straight away just completely remove that brand and completely destroy it with no media savvy or, like, it wasn't even like a lot. Like, you look at Apple launching a new iPhone. Like, we're on the fucking 14th iPhone. Like, I get it. It's a phone. You know, like, you don't have to have to do a whole song and dance anymore, dudes. Like, you know, I get it. Like, it's a phone. But they'll do the whole thing because they know how to play the media game. And, you know, Google do the same thing with their Pixel phone and the new Android operating system, whatever. Like, you got to give the dog a bone. You know, you got to feed the media engine. Like, that's part of the deal. He's just like, it's X now. It's just like, it's like completely destroyed any value there. And the moment he did that, it was that you don't want to do that unless you deliberately want a tax write-off. You deliberately want to be able to say the value of this asset is depreciated so significantly that I can write this off as a tax write-off.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure exactly how he's going to do it. And I know it's privately owned, and you can at me about, like, you know, that's not how the finance system works, whatever. But, like, you know that Musk is going to try and legally, like, fire lawyers through a cannon to try and use this as a tax write-off strategy.
He's got to. But, I mean, you know, I know that's kind of a conspiracy theory, but, I mean, it seems very plausible. But at the same time, it's like the man just seems to be, like, so full of pride that, you know, I could see him not doing that just because he doesn't want, you know, anybody to know that he did that.
No, I agree with that. I guess I just mean that, like, he may do it in a way that's, like, through shell companies or whatever. Like, he didn't buy it as Elon Musk. He bought it as, like, X holding subsidiaries or something. Like, if you look at the actual documents for the takeover, it's all done through these other LLCs and whatever. So, like, I'm sure there's going to be some wonderful, you know, way of tracing this. But, like, yeah, I take your point that, like, he is obviously a prideful man, and he's not going to stand up and say, I made a huge mistake. Like, that's not his game plan.
I think it's interesting that you've got Twitter, which is known for being, especially if you follow news and politics on Twitter, it is known for being a very kind of roll your sleeves up, tough kind of place, especially if you want to participate in public conversations about politics. It is a very rough and bitter place. You know, there are a lot of people driving conversations on Twitter who are probably mentally unstable, you know, and they have tens of thousands of followers and they're very popular, you know, folks who post 200 times a day. And I mean, that's just the way politics, the discourse just kind of flows on Twitter through people who I think are probably sociopaths. I don't know. But, you know, that's just how it's always been. You know, I mean, if you are a politics kind of junkie, you know, it's like mainlining the zeitgeist, you know, and I, back when I was doing social media for the media company that I worked at, like Twitter was just invaluable for tapping into that. But it was also like, anytime I would come out of that, I'd have to like decompress, because it's just like, it is so difficult to follow that stuff and not get like emotionally stressed out. Mm-hmm. Just like the level of anger and outrage that just flows through people when they're on Twitter and they're in this politics space. But, you know, what's interesting is, I think under Elon Musk, I think that, you know, him bringing back accounts that have previously been banned for various reasons, like often harassing other users, his very public efforts to try to get Donald Trump back on there, who was the king of, you know, I mean, when he's president of the United States, he would just single out like random people and for mockery. And, you know, this is crazy that you can use a public platform for that. I just feel like it's gotten even more aggressive under Musk. And what's, you know, when you had this Twitter branding, you know, at the very least, I can go into it. And this Twitter branding, very innocuous, very friendly, kind of. Yeah. This cute little bird, right? Yeah. This cute little bird and stuff.
Totally
and
agree was, with this. Totally agree.
It was this interesting kind of juxtaposition, because, you know, you had this absolutely dog-eat-dog kind of website, you know, that had this very friendly kind of interface. And now that he's there, and the anger and the outrage and the vitriol has kind of cranked up, and now you've got this fucking edgelord bullshit, where, you know, it's you've got this distressed app logo and stuff. I really feel like it is now, it's so nasty and so vicious. And what I think is really interesting is that he, just this weekend as we're recording, he announced, like in a response to a different tweet, that he's going to take away blocking. You can't block this.
Yeah,
you can't block people on Twitter.
There's a couple of really interesting things about this. Because you're totally right about just the, like, this is why I think the branding of Twitter was, in hindsight, golden. It's a cute little fucking bird. Like, it's just a nice little birdie. And for all of the vitriol and everything that happened on Twitter, there was enough of the innocent, we rate dogs kind of accounts.
Yeah.
That just kind of, like, added a little bit of levity, a little bit of light in the mood, you know?
Right.
First of all, that's no longer there. Like, I just don't feel it. I don't see it in my feed. I literally just turned on Twitter for the first time, X, for the first time in like a week before we had this call. And it's exclusively those people that you're talking about who make their business out of being on a social media platform that's hooked into the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Like, that's like over 50% of my feed. That's the first thing.
And they've paid for their verification check mark, and so it gets bumped into your feed, and you know, all your friends and stuff are who aren't verified don't show up anymore.
Exactly.
Or they, you know, if there's a reply to somebody, like the first 50 fucking tweets are like, you know, paid people. And it used to be there was this kind of like meritocracy on Twitter, you know, where people would get liked and retweeted if they wrote well.
Exactly.
You know, like, you know, it's like maybe they said something funny or something insightful or whatever, and people would like it and retweet it. And that stuff would kind of like bubble up to the top of the replies, you know? And so what I found interesting, because you know, somebody may make an interesting tweet, but that I might disagree with, I could jump into their replies and I could see people disagreeing with them and making very good points and eloquently and stuff like that. I don't see any of that shit anymore, because what I see is people who paid to be there who, you know, it's like there's no meritocracy anymore. Now it's like,
right.
You know, now it's like any asshole who pays $8 a month. That's all I see. And these people almost universally, like the people who have to pay to get followers on Twitter, like there's a reason why they have to pay, because they suck at tweeting. Like shitty writers.
But this is it.
So funny, they're not insightful.
The other thing about those particular characters in the social media game is that they make their notoriety by quote tweeting and replying to people who are basically famous for their own merits.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they don't get famous by just being a voice shouting into the void. They get famous by seeing people who are a movie actor, a pop star, and they reply to some tweet about that, and then they make that a big deal. And then it's like, oh yeah, yeah, that's the person who is the enemy, and we want to, like, you know, accelerate this kind of polarity that's going on, right?
Yeah.
But they can't do that if they're blocked.
Uh-huh.
And so that's the thing, is like the entire nature of blocking, it runs counter to, you know, encouraging those people to make more content.
Right.
So I think I saw, it was actually Jack Dorsey who said, like, oh, 100% agree with Elon Musk. Blocking shouldn't be done. Actually, should only be muting. And so people are saying, like, oh yeah, this is the actual solution. You should mute. And it's so easy to be any other social network that's just like, well, actually, we'll just be a tiny bit nicer and allow blocking, and everybody else will go there. And that's it. It's like, you look at Threads. I don't particularly think Threads is very good. But regardless of what social media platform you think is superior or not, they just, every single one of them is now automatically nicer than X.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, you know, I don't know the blocking versus muting. I actually prefer to mute because I don't, you know, the thing about blocking is that, like, people, you know, it's like one more step of engagement. With, you know, normally if I'm blocking people, it's because I think they're a stupid asshole, you know, because they've been harassing me or something like that. But it's kind of like, you know, I see people like post screenshots that they got blocked. You know, it's almost like a badge of honor. I annoyed this person so much.
Then feeds into the engine more.
So I actually prefer muting in most cases, because then, you know, that person can keep yelling at me and they don't even know that I can't see their stuff, which to me is in a weird way more satisfying. But, you know, I don't have a lot of people blocked, honestly, but across, I think three Twitter accounts now. I can't even call it X. It's still Twitter. But I really don't have that many people blocked. I've probably like 50 to 100 on each account. I have a lot of people muted because I don't want to, you know, it's like if they want to look at my shit, I don't fucking care. I don't want to hear what stupid commentary they have, you know, so I just mute and they have no idea. And then they can yell at me all day long, and I don't have to look at it. I don't know. So I actually prefer muting. Now, what I think might happen is that he'll make the muting go away.
It's a slippery slope, right?
Yeah, I would find the site unusable at that point. You know, I find it barely usable right now, but I would find it unusable at that point. You know, just talking about muting and blocking, I will say one other thing about that is that I have found it vital. It is a very necessary tool if you want to follow specific communities. So, for example, like with Homebrew Games, Twitter, I think one of the reasons why I want to talk about this on the podcast, Twitter has been invaluable for finding out information about new homebrew projects.
Yes.
Like when we were talking to Kevin Hanley, he's like, yeah, because it used to be you could go to, if you wanted to learn how to do NES development, you could go to Nintendo Age and ask people there. Well, Nintendo Age is gone now, so where do you go? Video Game Sage hasn't really filled that place. You might have Discords and stuff like that, but like probably the best place to go until recently was Twitter,
right?
You know, because you could go on there and you could find NES developers and people were talking about it publicly. And, you know, and the only way that you can make communities like that work on a public forum like that is if you can allow people to curate what they see. So through like muting and blocking, I kind of shaped the algorithm as it previously was in the pre-Musk era to only show me, you know, homebrew video game stuff. And that was because, you know, I have accounts where I follow like news and politics. I have one account where I do that. It's private. But because I don't want people to talk to me about news and politics. I just want to follow it and get information about it. But like, I don't need that on my other feeds. I don't want that on my other feeds. All I want is the homebrew stuff. So what I would do then is mute and block the same kind of accounts that I followed on my news and politics. I would mute and block on the homebrew stuff, you know, on the video game stuff, because that's what I want to see. I only want to see video game stuff. And it worked. It used to work, I had very carefully curated feeds that I spent years on, you know, I mean, I was posting about video games for years before I started the podcast. And so, I mean, they were very useful. Like I could log in and I would scroll through tweets and I would see, you know, maybe like 15-20% were people I actually followed. And then there would be a bunch of other stuff from people who had very similar accounts that I didn't know anything about, you know, and it would be a great way to discover new projects and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But now what I see in my feed is a lot of people who bought blue checks who want to post about shit like, you know, politics or cryptocurrency or NFTs mm-hmm. or some dumb shit, you know, and it's like, it is, I don't have that sense of discovery anymore. Yeah, you can't. It is. That's why I'm saying the utility of the site has just completely started to degrade.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking sad.
No, it is. And it goes even further than what you're talking about, because what your example is in having, you know, tried to discover everything about the homebrew game community and then being able to kind of tap into that. I'm seeing that. I use Mastodon quite a bit.
Yeah.
There's so many people who are saying that I'm an indie game developer, homebrew or not. And I used to find Twitter as the only way to reach my audience. That was the only way I could broadly reach the audience and let them know that I was working on a new game or that I had an update in the works or that, you know, hey, I've got this idea for a character. What do you think? Whatever, right? Like,
yeah.
They're like, all I can do now is push.
Yeah.
On that. All I can do is just kind of like try and get the message out, because I'm not going to get any more engagement, because everybody who's afraid that they can't block or hates the new design or whatever it is, like whatever you want to put it down to as a single cause that you believe is ruining the site, it doesn't matter what the single cause is. These people are no longer able to market their business.
Yeah, right.
And that is a huge change for them. Like they don't really have skin in the game as to whether it's Mastodon or Threads or whoever else. It's the fact that like there was this way of reaching a community and now that's gone. And
yeah,
I don't think we've really seen the impact of that in terms of how independent businesses in tech can really survive when they don't have the ability to reach out to their audience like that. When that is so degraded, when the entire thing is, you know, it's sad to your point, but like it's financially sad for a lot of these people because they no longer have a way to like really reach their audience.
Well, I think what has happened here is that you had that ecosystem, you know, and somebody just threw a giant rock into it, right? Yeah. And so it's completely disrupted.
Oh no, it is. No, I fully appreciate the irony of your statement in that.
It's this social media ecosystem has been disrupted.
Oh, but you could go even further with this, dude. You could be like, this ecosystem has been changed. The climate of this ecosystem has been changed.
Right, there has been an epochal change or whatever. Yeah, right. Yeah, we've moved into a new era. Yeah, the asteroid just took out the dinosaur.
Yeah. No, it really feels, but it's like it's one of these delayed reactions because, like, you know, the site's changed its brand and, you know, you can see by logging in that it's just different now. And there's, to be fair, there's still some people who are, you know, trying to just do what they always did on Twitter and post. And I see one or two of their posts. But, like, I know deep down those people are also looking for alternatives as well, right?
Yes. Okay, so let's talk about that for a second. Because, you know, my view of this stuff, every time that somebody throws a rock and disrupts something in tech, you've got this period of, like, confusion where, like, people are trying to get used to new stuff and they're trying different things. I see in a couple of years all of this kind of settling back down. You know, it's like if you kick up the dirt in the pond, like eventually all that dirt's going to settle again, you know, and you're going to be able to see the bottom and whatever. I feel like we're at a point right now where everything's been fractured like that. And I'm seeing people trying. There are some folks who have gravitated towards the new platforms and they're really trying to get them to work. I've seen a lot of people who, you know, they camp out. So every time there's some new stupid fucking thing that Elon does, people, you know, jump up back over to Mastodon or they jump onto Blue Sky or they jump onto Threads. And, you know, you see this like flurry of engagement there, but it's never quite hit that tipping point where people, because everybody always goes back. A lot of people do. Like some people don't. Like I honestly haven't. I can't. I have barely posted anything on our social media for about the last month because I'm kind of taking a break, honestly. Like I'm on summer break and everything, but I just, I don't, I'm so disgusted with X. Like I said, I can't even look at the app anymore. Like I moved it to the second page because I don't want to look at it. It's sad to me to look at. But you know, it's like I will go through a routine now every day where I pull up my app and I see this collection of social media apps. Okay, it's got I got my Mastodon, I got my Threads, I got my Blue Sky, and they're all like not Twitter. They're all a little bit deficient.
Sure.
And they all give me kind of different things. But what's interesting is that I can kind of see seeds of what these could grow into.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, okay, to take Mastodon. Okay, so I've been trying to make Mastodon work for about a year now. Or since, you know, whenever everybody decided to, we're all going to Mastodon.
Sure.
You know, nobody stayed. But I guess it was like October or something like that. I think it was when I set up our account. But yeah, it's like, you know, the thing about, like, Mastodon is interesting. I think the interface of the app kind of sucks.
Sure. Take your first point. It's interesting.
It's interesting.
It's like, it has potential. It's like a tech demo. It's not, that's the thing. It's not a product.
No, it's not a product.
It's not somebody who's like making a business around social media. It's some dude from Germany called Eugen who thought it would be cool to make a particular implementation of a protocol called ActivityPub that happened to be called after a dead elephant. Like, that's what it is. Like, it's not, like, when people are looking at Mastodon and they're expecting it to be a Twitter replacement, it's a fundamental misunderstanding, because it's not like a company that was founded in 2007 to get journalists interested in tweeting at each other. Like, that was not why this guy did what he did. And so it's made a completely different culture. For me, the thing that is most interesting about Mastodon is the fact that social media as a technology is a solved problem. There is no technological advancement to be gained in making a better social media. Twitter has done it. That's what it's supposed to be.
Okay.
So now it's everybody working at the social aspect of it. Well, are you supposed to be able to block people? Well, let's go a step further. You can have multiple different instances, whatever that means, and you can block an entire instance. That means you can say, whoever makes an account on that area of Mastodon, I never want to see them. And people are thrilled with this. The entire population of Mastodon, it's like this joke of like, this is an adaptation of another joke, but a rescue crew arrives on a desert island and finds a man who has set up, using coconuts, two computers running separate Mastodon instances. And the rescue crew goes, why did you set up two? He says, because that's the instance I will never connect with. And that's Mastodon in a nutshell. It's like you're defined by who you're blocking.
You know, right?
I don't subscribe to that myself. I'm not particularly, you know, excited by that cultural shift, but I have to be aware that that is the cultural shift that's happening.
I know, but if, like, to me, it's like, if what I'm looking for is that sense of tapping into the zeitgeist, like, that is just the opposite
exactly.
of that. Like, I have no idea if I've been blocked by people
that's
because
it.
I just happen to say, you know, the reason I am on the instance I'm on, I am on mass.to.
Sure.
The reason I got on that was because I couldn't get on the one that the most people were on.
That's me.
Because at the time,
social, last on the social.
Yeah, because they weren't taking invitations.
I got it before you.
Yeah, I know, because they weren't taking invitations. So I signed up for mass.to because it was the shortest of the names. That's the only reason I got on there.
Right.
You know, and now I'm on it, and it's like, I have no idea. Maybe somebody, you know, maybe there's
you're totally right. Like, this
instance
is,
out there that has been
this
blocked.
This is why I don't believe Mastodon is a Twitter replacement.
I don't know what it is.
But the thing is, like, if you were looking back, I always try to pattern match over the history of tech and how there were these monopolies that completely threw away their power of monopoly. It's so funny because like people are so threatened by like monopolies. They feel like they have to legislate. They have to like protect. Companies just throw away monopolies. If you look at technology, it's nothing but a history of people throwing away monopolies. Like, as an example, Microsoft have done this a couple of different ways.
Okay.
Sometimes it has been through legal action. Sometimes it's been just because they didn't value what they had.
Yeah, right? Well, okay. Yeah, I mean, sometimes I do think they've done it through self-preservation because they were trying to avoid legal action.
Because avoiding legal action, whatever. But then it, like, they went too far, whatever. But like, the simplest example is that Microsoft never saw the internet coming. They just completely did not see the internet. If you opened up Microsoft Word 1995, Microsoft Word, you typed in the word internet, that would show up as a spelling error. You know what I mean? Like, just completely blindsided by that as a way to use a computer chip.
Is that true?
Yeah. Of course, it was a patch, but you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Right, sure. Yeah, I think Google's probably done this too.
Yeah, and every tech company does this in their own way. Like, Google has done this with social media more broadly. They've never been able to crack social media the way Facebook was.
Oh, no. Oh, RIP, right? Google Wave.
Exactly. Yeah. All these, like, Google Wave, Google Plus, Google Duo. All
they were in such a good position to do it, too.
That's
like, they could have just plugged it into your email, and they just could never figure it out.
They could never. But that's it. It's like, it's not. People are so focused on that, like, oh, a tech monopoly, it's just impossible to break. Monopolies break themselves up. It's incredible to see it. I'm not against regulation of monopolies, for the record. I'm just saying it's very ironic. And so when you look at Twitter, it had this monopoly, specifically on that zeitgeist of information that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And it has now completely thrown that away. And I don't think whatever replaces it, because you're right, something else will kind of converge again. But it's never going to look like Twitter. It's going to be something that's different.
I don't know. Well, so are you on Blue Sky?
I'm not. That's actually the one I haven't been able to get an invite.
Yeah, okay. So this is what I wanted to say. So to move on from Mastodon, I honestly, Mastodon is strange. So the last thing I want to say about Mastodon, I was watching, one of the people I follow is a tech journalist, Benj Edwards. He's posts on Retronauts sometimes, but I like that guy. He and I have had some friendly interactions. But he was saying on Mastodon just recently, within the last couple of weeks, that the tone, that friendly tone, he feels like on Mastodon, at least for him, is gone. And it has become very, lots of people like getting very angry and very preachy, and in a way that he feels like is even worse than Twitter at its worst.
Okay, so here's the thing that I want to kind of give context with based on my own experience with Mastodon. The first thing is, yes, this is something I've seen as well.
Really?
And it's directly a function of the fact that people are now actually taking Mastodon seriously. That is the price of Mastodon being taken seriously, is that you get people who are now, like, not just, you know, coming in for a day, deciding they don't like their feed and then going back to Twitter. You've got a lot of people who are now sticking with Mastodon. The second thing is Mastodon is adding in more features like trending, like full text search, where you can search for just like the content of any tweet. You can't just, you don't have to search for that. That's the thing. A lot of the people who are on Mastodon don't like those things.
Because they want it to stay the way it was.
Because they want to stay the way it was, or they deliberately want to exclude the zeitgeist.
Yes, exactly. Right.
Now, here's the thing. Mastodon, as a technology, has space for both of those. You can have your account that's on an instance that defederates in the lingo, that says, I don't want to connect with any of these like zeitgeisty instances, and I want to keep on a version that doesn't do full text search, and I want to block blah, 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 blah. And you can also have instances that are trying to move forward and push the envelope and become more Twitter-esque, for lack of a better term. Both of those things can exist simultaneously in Mastodon. But that's why it's very difficult to define that as a single social network. It's more like a kind of a lower level thing. It's like a substrate that you kind of build your own social network out of, which is why it's never going to be a Twitter replacement. Because eventually that brand of Mastodon is going to get diluted so, you know, fully that it won't mean anything. People will like talk about what instance they're on, like, oh, you're on mast.to. Okay, I'm on mastodon.social. You should follow my account. And that'll be how people talk about it. They won't actually talk about the technology because it'll be functionally meaningless, which is a shame, but that's the direction it's currently headed in.
Okay.
But I want to hear you talk about Blue Sky.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like Mastodon is for people who are like, they into that. You know, I feel like tech people are drawn to Mastodon.
Yeah, totally,
you know,
agree.
It's, they have
a guilty as charged. I mean, like, I literally have 6 Mastodon apps on my phone.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I have not. See, that's the thing, is that as somebody who doesn't have that, I don't think that way. Like, I don't know. It doesn't have that much appeal to me.
I have a specific Mastodon app that has its own recommendation algorithm. I have a Mastodon app that does ChatGPT. I have another one that generates replies based on ChatGPT.
Oh.
Like, if you can look at a thing and say, like, auto-generate a reply, like, literally have, like, more emojis, less emojis. You can, dial it in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can dial in your social interactions.
I've got one that just has beautiful animations. I've got one that, like, when you boost something, when you, like, retweet, it literally turns the thing into a rocket and then shoots it to the top of the screen. And I love it.
That's amazing.
And like,
well, you should send me some of those. I will.
But like, it's a totally different thing. It's a tech person thing.
Well, Mastodon iPhone app sucks. I do not like it at all. So
yes, I agree with that 100%.
Every time I get on there, I'm like, why does anybody use this?
But that's it. It's because it's totally not. It's not. If you're picking the default option in Mastodon, you are. And I say this as somebody who's using Mastodon.social, but you're probably not engaging with what the technology can do.
See, and that is why it's always going to be this very small subset of tech people.
Agreed.
Because nobody else wants to fucking do that shit. You know, I don't want to put in that kind of effort.
I will modify every small subset of tech people and George Takei.
Oh, is George? Okay, well.
he's on it. But that's it. That's okay, completely it.
Yeah, all right. Oh, my. All right. Yeah, well, send me some of those apps, because I really hate the current Mastodon app.
Yes.
But no, so in the reply to Benj Edwards, somebody called it a bunch of HOAs.
Yeah. It totally is. That's actually a fantastic analogy of it.
Yuck.
No, it is, because it's like, it's the only addendum I'd give to that is you have some HOAs that are 10 people, and some HOAs that are 100,000 people.
Sure.
That's the big difference in Mastodon, but it is HOAs all the way down.
So Blue Sky, you're not on that yet. I can't believe you're not on that. Mm. Don't you know people who could send you an invite? Like,
you know,
I would send you one if I had.
I honestly haven't tried that hard. But like,
I have an invite code. Connor, I have one right here.
Please
here,
send one right now.
Okay, yeah. Yes. Folks, we're recording right now. History is being made. I am texting Connor his very first Blue Sky invite right now. So by the time this goes live.
Oh, here it is.
There it is. You got it. You got it.
Yep.
Congratulations. You should print that out and frame it. So I will say this. No, like the first one that I got, I was like, I got a squat on that HB Game Club. You know,
nice.
So I had to set up our podcast account. But no, so I have found it to be very similar to Twitter. Both the positives and the negatives. The people that show up the most are the people who write well, or they're really, you know, they're like really funny,
yes,
or they're like
yes,
really engaging, you know. So that is, that's really positive. However, because it's closed, it's really hard for me to tell if it's going to be the one to catch on, because it's, you know, the user base is still so small.
Yeah.
And like when I click on my, you know, discover or something like that, or what is popular with friends. There are a couple different tabs that you can use to find stuff. I see a lot of the old people from Twitter. I don't know. A lot of the people from Twitter who just really hate Elon Musk have already gravitated towards Blue Sky. But I still don't see the homebrew people that I'm looking for.
Right.
So it's not quite there yet.
Because it's kind of exclusive. Because why would you go to a platform that's so exclusive if your whole goal is to market something?
Right. So I don't know how long they're going to sit on this invite code thing, but I really do think it has a tremendous amount of potential to be the Twitter replacement. I don't know. It doesn't have the level of engagement yet for me to say definitively, like, this is the one. But from having used it right now, I don't have a lot bad to say about it. It is, I would say the interface is almost exactly like Twitter. Maybe like Twitter from like, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago. You know, something like that.
Right. But
I don't really have a lot to say about it, you know, which is kind of interesting to me.
That's kind of, so honestly, I'm going to say this. I think that's more damning than the criticism you gave of Mastodon.
Really? Why?
Because it's a social network. Like, if you don't have anything to say about it. Like, I'll give you another
example. I'm waiting for other people to get onto it, you know?
Not Blue Sky, but there's another clone of Twitter that I got alerted to early on. It's called T2.
Okay.
Right? It's invite-driven. You have to kind of, like, find your way in, right? But it's exactly in this problem where it's, like, it's trying to be exclusive, but it's also trying to be like, oh, we're really popular. It's like, it's really hard to strike that balance.
Yeah.
The only social network I've ever seen that's done that well is Facebook.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you remember how Facebook got their like exclusivity popularity thing going?
Colleges.
Exactly. You hit it on the head.
So it appealed to kind of, more elitist folks.
But more, not just elitist folks, young, hip, with it,
right.
Elitist yes. folks, right?
Well, like, and that's why I think Blue Sky has potential, because that's who it's appealing to.
Okay, fair. I agree with that. But it's like, I mean, Facebook literally was like only Ivy League universities for
sure.
its first right. like year of existence or something. So, yeah, I appreciate what you're saying, but like you have to really, you know, generate that buzz. And like, unless you're going for people who like have a very specific identity and then defederate and go away from everybody else, and then they like talk about how they just really hate talking to everybody else. I think you're going to have to find some other way to make it, you know, interesting. Because at this point, like all it is that, okay, it's Jack Dorsey doing another social network. That's basically everything it has going for it.
Is he that involved? So I'm not really sure like how involved he is in this. What I've read is that he is on the board.
Yeah.
But like he's got his own projects going on. So he's not like that.
Like I will tell you right now, I just logged into Blue Sky and
congratulations.
The first thing that it shows me is you should do some work. It's like find accounts to follow, discover feeds. I'm like, okay, I click on discover. I'm like, okay, the first thing I see is somebody I already follow on Mastodon. The next person I see is just doing a meme. The third person is somebody I already follow on Twitter. The next person is somebody doing a meme. I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, you got to have something that's a little bit different. So, like, that's where I don't know if Blue Sky is going to be the thing.
Do you, though? I think that's what a lot of people are looking for. They just want Twitter. They just want it in a different form.
Well, then, honestly,
they want non-Elon Musk Twitter.
I think that's going to be Threads.
Okay, so let's talk about Threads. I have to say, of all of these apps, I think Threads, I like the interface the most.
Yes.
I think Threads has a tremendous amount going for it. And I hate to say that because, listen, I fucking hate Meta. I hate Facebook. I have gotten to where I used to like Instagram, but I've gotten to where I really dislike it because I think they fucked up what they push to people so bad that it is hard to use now. And that sucks because I think they had something really good there a few years ago. And when they started to try to become TikTok and
that's
push
exactly,
these
that's what
idiotic
everyone's trying to do.
Stories that just completely swamp my feed, Instagram became almost useless. Like I think they've walked this back, but there was a while there for about a year where all of the photo accounts that I followed had started to try to switch to video accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So, because that was the only way you could get promoted on Instagram was to do video.
Yep.
And it reminded me of Facebook back in the early 20-teens. You know, everybody was doing this pivot to video bullshit because Facebook was trying to push video so bad. And it turned out later that they were skewing their numbers to encourage people to do this. And I mean, you just destroyed websites because they were trying to hire video teams.
Yeah,
but it was all bullshit. It was all based on bullshit. Because
completely remember that. Like, I for people who are not aware of this, Facebook literally got sued by the SEC for not being honest about their numbers that they were disclosing of like publicly traded company numbers about video views. They were absolutely crucified about this. Now, because they make shit tons of money, it wasn't really a big problem. But they completely lied through their teeth on video views.
But I mean, what you had is that sites that were like journalism sites that posted, you know, written journalism were
good
firing
journalism.
Their...
And they were getting good click-throughs and were getting...
Good journalism that was getting like good engagement they were like, people were getting fired right and left because they weren't in video. You know, yes. Everybody had to do video because that's what Facebook was trying to promote. In hindsight, I have no idea what they were thinking. I don't know why they wanted to promote video so bad. But, you know, something about like they thought that it would encourage people to like go to their platform or something because their platform could like host the video. But they were fucking skewing the metrics. Like, it was all bullshit. Everything was bullshit. Mm-hmm. And so it completely destroyed a lot of websites that did good journalism because they were trying to pivot to video. And it became this punchline. You know, it was like, we're going to pivot to video and everybody's going to get fired. We're going to bring in some video people and the video is not going to get views. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, what is the fucking point of any of this? So my thoughts toward Meta as a company, that is the Facebook parent, and the parent of Instagram and Threads, mm-hmm. is
negative, to say the
negative
least.
At best and hostile at worst. So yes. I can, like, a lot of my friends have not signed up to Threads because they hate Meta and Mark Zuckerberg so much. And you know what? I can't blame them. But I have to tell you something. Threads is not fucking bad. It's not bad. I've been using it quite a bit, and the app, it has the nicest interface. I think it's a better interface than any of the other.
It just works.
It just works. Now, here's the thing.
This is it.
It needs more features.
Oh, yeah. Like, but the features that it has, they just work.
Here's the thing. If this changes one or two things, this is going to be the app. Like, I really do think that.
It's so easy.
The thing that gets me is that this is now at a point where this app has been live for, what is it now? It's been about 2 months? Something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. They still do not have a goddamn thing where I can just search for different accounts. Or, right? Like, I can't search for posts. If I type homebrew...
It's so deliberate. It's so obviously deliberate.
But what are they doing? Like, I don't... If I type homebrew, I don't... I get a bunch of, like... All I find is accounts that have homebrew in the name of the account.
I am going to pee, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to tell you what the answer is.
Okay. Well, I want to bitch about this a little bit more, so... Both of my boys are at the point where they're interested in my wall of games.
Sure.
So, like, I come downstairs and both of them are just on the floor, like, looking at all these games and stuff. And I like, it is delightful.
I have to say congratulations to Grant for completing Mario Brothers.
I can't believe he did that.
My boys literally just, like, 2 days ago, they completed Bowser's Fury.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That's not even holding a candle. Like, holy crap. Like, you did.
You did it. Like, yeah. It, you know, it's like he was, and he was using rewinds and save states and all that stuff, but it was like, you could tell it was so hard for him.
As
like,
a man who uses save states, that does not make it an easier game.
No, and I mean, he was dying every 10 seconds, you know, and he would rewind and he would just keep going with it. And he got stuck on...
7-something?
7-4. 7-4. The castle on 7-4 is you have to, like, go through in a certain sequence. And honestly, like, I had never beaten that castle. Like, I've never played through it.
Right.
And I had to look it up online. And I was like, I do not know how somebody would figure this out. Like, this is
a
wild,
hard fucking game. But
it's a hard fucking game. And he figured it out. Well, he didn't figure it out. I mean, he beat it to death. Yeah, he beat it to death. He got to World 8, and he just sailed through it. Like, I mean, he was done in 10 minutes. He beat World 8 in 10 minutes. And I was like, motherfucker. Like, how? You know, this is crazy. But he, you know, he was done, and he just threw the controller down. He's like, all right, I'm done. Buy me the game I want. A deal's a deal. Come on.
There was no satisfaction. It was a purely transactional thing.
Well, no, it was like, you know, he wanted Super Mario Maker 2. And in my eyes, you can't really, okay, you want to build Mario levels. Well, you know, if you played Super Mario.
Yeah, that's very fair. I actually appreciate that. That specific logic is very good.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I really, because one of the first things he wanted to do when he got Super Mario Maker 2, he recreated 1-1 from Super Mario Brothers. You know, one of the most iconic levels in video gaming. Mm-hmm. And now my 8-year-old is into it. You know, he's like, I want to rebuild that level. I, you know,
because he's just like, I want to kill that level again and again. Yeah. And again.
Well, and it, you know, what's cool is it has these graphic assets and music assets and all this stuff from all the different Marios over time. So you can do Mario Brothers U. I guess it's, you know, I didn't even play that one. I guess that's a, like a Wii U game.
A Wii U, yeah.
No, he's like, okay, so what is this one? And I'm like, well, that's Mario 3. And he goes, well, what is this one? And I'm like, that's Mario 2 from NES. You know, the good one. greatest game ever made.
Greatest game ever made.
But he's, sure. You know, what's this one? And it's like, well, that's, you know, the big bonsai bell. That's from Mario World on Super Nintendo. Like, he's into this. He loves, Nintendo is really good at communicating its history.
And that's good point. I really like what you just said there, like they're communicating their history. And that's something that, like, really, I think only Disney does well.
That's the other company that I would compare it to, Disney. Yeah, because, you know, my kids are, they're, like, interested in Mickey Mouse. Like, how are my kids interested in Mickey Mouse? They don't know shit about Mickey Mouse. Right? They've never seen Mickey Mouse in a commercial, like a cartoon.
Why would you even know who Mickey Mouse is?
And yet, you know, it's like they want to know. They're like, was he in cartoons and stuff? And I was like, yeah. So we, like, look some of them up. But, no, it's like, I knew that something was going on. I went to an ice skating thing. It was one of my daughter's ice skating things. You know, it was last winter, whatever. But we were watching these kids do these little performances. They come up with their own performances. So this one little girl, like a 10-year-old girl, she wanted to get out there and do a skating routine to Super Mario Brothers, the theme to the original NES game. And then about halfway through, it switched to Super Mario World, like the overworld theme from that game. And that was her entire theme. And, you know, she was like, she was dressed as Mario and she like came up out of a pipe and stuff. Like that was her routine.
That's so
adorable.
And I
was just like, I was just like, this is a 10-year-old girl in 2023. Like, what is happening? Like how, this is incredible that Nintendo has been able to pull this off, because people like, well, you know, these kids aren't interested in these old games. They're really weird.
Dude, they love it. They love it.
Yeah. It's just an aesthetic. It's just aesthetics.
Well, I have to like, push the boys away. Because when I'm playing the games for the homebrew game club, like I need to focus on the game. And I actually, it takes longer if I've got all these questions coming in from two boys asking me intently what's going on the screen. And it's adorable. Like it's hilarious that's, it's so engaging. And I was thinking like, oh, 2D graphics. Or they love it. They really love it. Because this is a personal thing, but like it's very validating to hear that like it doesn't matter how detailed the graphics are. It's the sense of control, it's the sense of like, you know, excitement or whatever it is. And also, to be fair to the dancer who was on the ice, some of these tunes are iconic now as well. I mean, whether you're like, maybe you just like the music. I just saw a thing there about David Wise.
Okay.
And aquatic ambience. And
Bart's really into that one.
Right. But like even before that, I just saw a thing where like I think it was Wired or something did like a retrospective on him doing like he's performed this song. Like he's literally
Oh, has he really?
Yeah, he was at Magfest, he performed it and all the rest. And it's like the smallest things about video games are now becoming their own profession. You know, something like pixel art, which was like just taken as like, okay, well, if you're making a game, you're going to have to like make the characters. And that was like never seen as like a thing when it was first starting out. You have to be a programmer and a pixel artist. But now like the pixel art is like such a thing, you know, it's like,
it's definitely its own aesthetic. You know, it has become, its own like art. I've seen college classes that are geared around pixel art.
That's hilarious to me. And yet my kids look at that and they're like, oh, wow, this is gorgeous.
Yeah, well, and especially because when you talk to David Wise or like some of these older guys from, you know, back in the day, like they'll tell you like we hated this stuff because it was so limiting.
That's the thing.
We wanted to make real music and here we had these like beeps and boops, you know, and we just did what we could.
That's exactly what he says in this documentary. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but then you look at like what Franken Graphics does or something like that.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's great call out. Love what Franken Graphics does.
It is its own art form. It is this stripped down limited art form, but it's I think that's the whole fucking thing about homebrew. It's like people working within constraints. They don't have to work like this. They choose to, you know?
Now here's my thing about social media. I think there is actually very little constraints on social media. It's not like you need a 3D metaverse of Twitter to make it better, right? I think this has been completely disproven by Meta. It's incredible to me how they spent billions building this like 3D, you know, immersive Oculus environment.
What do they even call it?
the metaverse or whatever.
The metaverse.
Right? But just like, just to pause on that, right? They spent billions on that. And I don't...
To recreate Second Life.
I don't doubt that it was, there was merit in doing that. I think it's, from my own perspective, I know that it was a lot of technical achievements to do a lot of the things they did. Fine. But that versus bringing back what you were saying about Threads, it looks like it was made in 6 weeks by a team of 20 people and that was it.
It looks pretty good. I mean,
that's
you know,
it. It's like no, it's not like you're reinventing anything. It's like this is something that has existed. Like it's an app on a phone that is on version 14. Like this is not new. It's just an app.
But they don't really need to do it. Like you don't need to be disruptive.
But that's you it. Know. Like isn't that the thing that is so interesting about Threads? This is now the like because they were quaking in their boots about ChatGPT or whatever being the most popular service ever made. They went from 0 to 100 million users in like 4 weeks or something.
Well, they just brought over everybody from Instagram. But yeah,
but who cares? They've got the record. They did it. Like people didn't say, oh, I'm okay with Instagram. I don't want to do anything else. People are like, yeah, I need something that's like the zeitgeist. Because Instagram is not the zeitgeist. And if you're telling me Threads is going to be the new zeitgeist, let's check it out. That's exactly why people are there.
Yeah. I mean, I do think Threads still has some major shortcomings. Like I said, you can't search for like text. Like if I look for homebrew, I just get accounts that have homebrew in the name. So it's like, you know, lots of beer. I don't want to follow any of this shit. I don't want to follow beer.
But that's they want to figure out, and they're going to push it, by the way. They want to figure out how much can they control the zeitgeist? Because now it's fucking obvious. If you can control that feed, and if you can get enough people on that it's like, that's the feed, you are now controlling the zeitgeist. And so I honestly expect they're going to take a long time to figure out, quote unquote, how to implement certain features. Mm. Not because it's hard, not because it's technical, but because they're like, yeah, but if we didn't figure that out, we'd have to control that for you, wouldn't we? That would be a really interesting monopoly to hold.
Huh.
Right? But at the same time, they are doing it the best. It's vertically integrated. You're not caring what your server is, your instance, or your fucking block list. You're not caring about invite codes. You're not caring about... The only thing you have to care, ironically, the only thing you have to care about is whether you're not in the US, Canada, or the United Kingdom.
Okay.
Because Europe has banned Threads preemptively.
Yeah, right.
And that's another huge hit for homebrew.
Yeah, because some of the best homebrew was coming out of Europe. Right.
Right. So I don't think Threads is going to be the best platform for homebrew.
Okay.
But I do think it's going to be the replacement for Twitter.
All right. That makes sense. Well, yeah, we'll see. My money's on Threads right now. I do think Blue Sky has a really strong position if they go public.
Right.
Like if they, which I mean, they open, like the, not like the company goes public, but like if they open up and they don't have this weird kind of invite thing going on. Because I think both of these apps are prepared to take off like rockets.
Sure.
They just need, they're like 70% there, you know, but once they get maybe 95% there, I really do think the next time Elon shits his pants and people run away from X, one of these is going to like capture that audience and will become like the new Twitter. And that's when all that disruption will like settle down. I think that's what's going to happen. I could really see both of these apps sticking around for a long time while Twitter withers up and dies. You know,
the only thing I'll say, if you're like listening to this and you're thinking, yeah, Twitter's going to fucking die, it's going to destroy. These things take a long time. We had a conversation almost a year ago now when Musk took over Twitter and we were like, oh, it's going to like, people were like, it's going to explode. And people were like, oh, it's going to, you know, just like it'll whole totally crash. Whatever. It's like, I was like, no, it's not going to crash. These things take a long time to develop.
Yeah.
There's another year at least of this whole dance of like Musk saying like, you're not allowed to follow anyone if you don't pay me, or like, you're not allowed to make a account unless you've I don't know, like, right. got some kind
wank,
of like
wank, wank, wank.
Yeah, like, unless you've shot somebody in the face, like, it's just like stupid stuff, right? Like, it's an infinite playground for somebody like Elon Musk to be like, I'm gonna ban people from looking at accounts that say the word Barack Obama. Boom! Like, every news outlet's gonna carry that. Like, every news outlet is gonna carry some stupid, whimsical fucking decision by Elon Musk for another 12 months, and you know it. In your heart of hearts, everybody listening to this knows that's the case.
Well, and sure, this is, like I said when we posted that episode, it was like in December of last year or something, but, you know, Dig still exists. Exactly. MySpace still exists. Exactly. They're still out there. They're just exactly. like, you know, they have a tiny fraction of the years, but I mean, X is still going to be around. In, I think it's going to be around 10 years from now. It's just going to be a bunch of like crypto idiots and NFT idiots and, you know, right-wing idiots. It's like the same kind of bullshit that it's promoting right now. Like, that stuff's not going anywhere. I think you're still going
to,
it's going to be like the fucking Thunderdome from Mad Max, and everybody's going to be in there and paying their $8 to get their dumb bullshit crypto account promoted, you know. And the rest of us will have moved on. We will be on Threads or Blue Sky or both.
It is clearly going in the direction of the libertarian dream of what Twitter should be, which is fine.
Yeah.
But that's only one vision of how people communicate about a zeitgeist.
I think the average user would find like that kind of zeitgeist to be unpleasant to spend a lot of time in. I mean, that's where I'm putting my money. I don't know.
No, I will put my money with yours. I think the only question that we have, you and I and Bart, around what we have to really put our own money on sincerely is, how does the homebrew game community react to all this? Where should the homebrew game community be? If we had to pick a place for that community based on all the pros and cons we've stated, I don't think there's any clear winner.
Yeah, I don't think there's one right answer to that. I think all of them have their own appeal.
All of them have their own flaws as well.
Yeah, well, and this is what I was saying. I think I am currently at a place where, because I do, you know, I've been taking a break from everything, but I am going to have to go back to promoting stuff probably this week. And I'm, you know, I'm thinking like this is going to be like social media circa like maybe 2009. You know, something like that, where if you wanted to promote your stuff on social media, you had to go to like 5 different websites.
Yeah.
You know, because then nobody was clearly dominant. Like, there was no one place where you could just say like, okay, this one space has a broad enough platform that I can just put my stuff here and it will end up on all the other ones.
Right.
You know, which Twitter had that until about a year ago.
Exactly.
And arguably, like, it's still the largest platform in many ways.
Oh, well, you know? It has a lot of things where, this is another technology thing, it's the default for a lot of stuff. Like, CNN will still run a ticker of, like, somebody tweeted, you know, XYZ, and it'll use the fucking little birdie. Because, like, that's what they've got is their creative on their fucking,
they can't even drop the branding.
They can't. That's the thing. It's like, there's no, that's what I mean.
It's so integrated into their, like, news, you know, regurgitation system. Right. They can't even drop the branding.
This is the thing that, like, I think Elon Musk really doesn't appreciate. Like, if you want CNN to run the ticker and say X, you have to have a song and dance about a story that CNN can get engagement on, so that they can get revenue to pay the people who do the thing on the fucking ticker that will change it to an X. Like, you can't just, like, that's not how the machine works.
I think it's interesting neither of us have mentioned Reddit. You know, Reddit is such a huge platform, and it's a very interesting platform, and I do spend a lot of time there, but for self-promotion, Reddit is really shitty at it. Mostly because, like, these communities often don't like it when you self-promote.
That's true, but I also want to call out the fact that I have completely cut myself off of Reddit.
Have you really?
Since about June. Yeah, 100%. I am...
Yeah, they've been going through their own bullshit.
Yeah, I would say I could count on one hand how many times I've visited Reddit since June. And this is
really?
August 20th. Wow. Yeah.
Huh.
And it's entirely due to this third-party app debacle, whatever you want to call it.
I do feel like it has made the site just enough worse that I can notice it.
Now, you can still do, there's a lot of workarounds. There's a lot of people who've worked very hard to access Reddit in a way that's convenient. Simple example. If you go to old.reddit.com.
Okay.
Right? Really stupid stuff. You will get a fast, really interesting and more easy to use Reddit experience. This is like, Reddit is a really great example of technology companies poisoning themselves because they feel like they have to keep up with the latest trends in technology. Not the latest trends in what people want, the latest trends in technology. So Reddit started as a, oh my God, like I'm going to date myself here, but like Reddit originally started as a computer website pretty much exclusively devoted to things around computers. And it was written in a computer language called Lisp. And if you know what that language is, congratulations, you are a complete nerd. And then they realized that that would actually be hard to hire people for. So they changed the language to another computer language. And they built up more of it and blah, blah, blah. And they've made a computer website. And they were like, oh, people want to talk about movies and people want to talk about celebrities and whatever. And so they made these subreddits and blah, 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 blah. And then they were like, oh, we should rewrite the whole thing again so that it's weirder and harder to use and it has more ads in it. And everyone was like, what are you doing? What is this?
That's a mega-sounding story, though.
Right? But it's like, it was a case of a company that is like, so, first of all, intent, and Facebook has done this in certain cases too, intent often gives us a tech company instead of like a social media company.
Yeah.
And then in terms of leadership, oh my God. Like, I honestly don't even know who the current CEO is, but I know they've been through about 5 CEOs in the past 10 years.
Is it not still Spez?
It is. You're right. Thank you. It's because he came back in.
Yeah. This is like his second term or something.
Yeah. It's his second round at being CEO. But it's like, it's a really interesting case of like hugely gravitational force, because there's the comment system and, you know, karma and all the rest. And by cutting out these third-party apps, I was like, I can't use this. I really can't use this.
It does make it. Yeah, I mean, I use a lot of third-party apps, and I'm not even that into that kind of shit.
Right? And I was just like, you know what? At the end of the day, the reason I loved Reddit was because the comments. And there were people who would comment there who had really great insights that were just like bystanders on these stories. And it's the exact same thing with Twitter. You had these people who would be like, oh, well, actually, this story about, you know, deforestation in the Amazon. I actually worked in the Amazon rainforest for 30 years. And I was like, you know what I mean? Like these kind of people who just like randomly commented. And then that would get like retweeted up to fucking heaven of like all these like crazy small comments that just became huge stories. And Reddit was amazing for that. Especially these Ask Me Anything threads.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And they've just like, I just feel like they want to become BuzzFeed with a shittier ad system. Like that's all they really want to do. Because
do you think?
Yeah, because like there's the things that make Reddit really unique, and the things that make it really accessible, i.e., that allow unique people to come in and make their contributions. They've just been cutting away as much as possible.
Yeah.
I mean, the AMA thing is like, there was this person who they had highlighted as like the, effectively the chaperone for all these.
Yeah, I remember that. AMA used to be so popular. Like, right.
They had this one person called Victoria.
Victoria, right.
And she was like,
this was a long time. We're old.
Right. But this was like a big thing.
This just happened so long ago though. I mean, like this was like 10 years ago or something.
Right. And then and like she almost became bigger than the AMA subreddit.
Yeah.
In her own way. And then they were like, oh no, we gotta cut her out. And I was like, you have just like, think about all of the relationships with celebrities you have developed through this person. You've cut her out. Like, what are you doing?
Well, you know, after that, like, the amount of times that I saw an AMA really get picked up just dropped off like a rock.
Exactly.
You know, like, she was like, there was something about her that facilitating these things that, you know, this is like you're saying tech companies have this kind of monopoly and they just, they don't value what they have. It's like with this one person, like she had become a celebrity in her own right.
Exactly.
And she was in some ways like the face of Reddit.
Exactly.
And it was this like really engaging, positive face. And they just like...
They couldn't stand it. They couldn't handle
they
it.
Couldn't say, yeah, they...
Because they were like, no, sorry, a human? No, we're a technology company. Excuse me. Like, okay. And but it's like, that's it. It's like these social media companies are run by people who are diametrically opposed to a human being the face of the company.
Hmm. That's interesting.
It's remarkable because you brought up Reddit, and so that's why I expanded on it. But I think it's really exciting to see smaller communities really value the things that they have. And I think that's part of the way forward, is seeing these smaller communities who, for one reason or another, have, you know, decided to kind of congregate in a place that you can't easily syndicate things to and you can't easily like promote. But they are building such interesting things. Like, I don't like Discord. I really am not a fan of Discord.
Really?
But at the same time, I can't get pulled away from it, because that's where everybody who is building something interesting is talking to each other.
Yeah. I find it hard because we have to maintain maintain our Discord server. That takes up like so
much
time.
You can say we. You can edit that to be we.
We. You can
make me sound like less of a deadbeat. That's okay.
But no, we've got maybe like a dozen people on our Discord who comment regularly, and I love every single one of them. But, you know, it's like that when I check on Discord, like that's 90% of my time is spent on my own server. You know, if I didn't have my own server, I would probably spend a lot more time on other people's servers. But I do think there's great information and value in diving into these communities on Discord. I just find it like an amazing time suck.
Oh, it's a huge time suck. But I will say that like I hate using Discord. I'm a member of about 20 Discord communities.
Yeah, I'm in like probably, it's got to be over 50 by this point.
Right.
But like, and it's the, like, how often do I check those? Like there might be like five I check fairly regularly. You know, because it's so fucking overwhelming.
It's totally overwhelming.
It's like, I want to find out more about a specific topic. So I will follow that Discord about that specific topic. And then it's just like this, like, you talk about a zeitgeist, you know, it's like this, it's just, you know, it's suddenly hundreds of users and they're talking about is this one topic. And I'm like, this is way too much. This is like drinking from the fire hose. And this is, I can't.
But that's the irony, is like, this is why I think we're never going to rebuild Twitter. Because Twitter drinking from the fire hose is not the same as Discord drinking from the fire hose.
Yeah.
Because Twitter had this breadth, but Discord has this depth.
Yes.
Where you will join a server and you'll be like, I never realized. Like, stupid example. One of the Discords that I follow is a specific like synthwave, vaporwave, like DJ who remixes a bunch of songs specifically around PlayStation 1 music. Okay? Okay. I mean, I'm 100% serious. Like PlayStation 1 music is his entire repertoire.
Oh, I'm into this.
And I when I say like that depth of like people getting into the music and the visuals that should accompany the music, and like, no, you shouldn't have this particular sound accompanied by this particular graphic, and I'm like, holy, like, no, I can't even handle how deep this is.
I don't know, man. You know, talking about Reddit, like I said, it's really hard to promote your shit on there because like a lot of these communities don't like it when you do that. The one person who I've seen like really successful promoting their own stuff on Reddit is Matt Hewson.
Well, I mean, he's a bit of a special gentleman.
He is special. So we can't even go like a bullshit like side episode talking about social media without mentioning Matt Hewson. So
no, I think it's a fair call out that like if he can do it, other people can. I mean,
I look at what he does on there and I'm like, okay, could I replicate this for Homebrew Game Club? You know? And I even created my own account. Like it was like, it's like Divertov HBGC or something. And I still have not gotten to the point where I'm ready to dive in like that. But I think that's it. It's like, I need to feel like I need to like work myself up, and I'm like, all right, I got to go in there and I got to like, you know, build this persona.
Yeah.
Right. Because I mean, that's the whole fucking thing. If you're going to do something like that on Reddit, you know, especially like you have to really commit to it. Like you have to put in some time.
That's a really good point, is that I think the time for Reddit being a casual, just like people who are kind of into it and like posting when they can, has passed. Hmm. It's now, it's a marketing vector. You know, it's like a particular thing that like you have companies paying people to post on Reddit.
Oh, yeah.
And so now the audience on Reddit is trained to expect that level of engagement, not only from each other.
I'm competing with professional Redditors.
You are? No, literally, this is
it.
No, I am.
I totally am. No, I absolutely believe.
Without a hint of irony, we are competing with professional Redditors when it comes to building a community on Reddit. So, I mean, if I was a casual Reddit lurker in the terms I use, like I'm going to sound like a boomer just using that word, but like why would you join a community that's not going to give you content every fucking 18 hours versus a community that like maybe every 5 days has like a comment once or twice?
Yeah, sure. No, I believe it.
What's interesting about this is I really feel the important thing from everything we've spoken about in terms of what gets published is that homebrew developers are going to be in a really tough spot in the next 12 months.
Yeah.
I just don't know how you're supposed to promote your games anymore.
Yeah, I really feel for people who have been working on some project that they are just now ready to talk about. You know, like maybe they've spent like 3 years on it. And it might be like that's what I'm worried about is maybe you've got one of the best NES or the best Game Boy or the best Atari games that has ever been made. And like, how are you going to tell people about it? How are you going to build hype for it? Let's take it out here. I think we've been talking for a long time. I put on Discord. This has been a 3-piss break. So we've taken 3 bathroom breaks already on this podcast.
I've explained that, excuse me, I have a bladder the size of a walnut. It's a medical condition.
I am also peeing, all right? I am also taking a piss. When you take a piss, I'm taking a piss. We are like totally locked in sync here, all right? That's why
we're bladder twins,
good.
You and I.
All right, this has been the Homebrew Game Club podcast. You can find links to our Discord, back episodes of the show, or other social media at homebrewgameclub.com, and you can look for us on your social media app of choice at HB Game Club. If you like the show, please help us out by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or by telling all your retro gaming buddies about our podcast. If you have comments or a suggestion for a game that you would like to hear us talk about, shoot us a message on Discord or email us at homebrewgameclub@gmail.com. Our opening music is by Twee. You can find him on Twitter at TUI2803, where you can also find a link to his SoundCloud. Our outro music is by Raptornaut. You can find him on Twitter at 0000Jordan. You can follow me, Nick, at various sites around the internet at Dvertov. That's DVERTOV. Bart is on Instagram as Clever Username Needed. He is also on Threads, by the way. So you can follow him on Threads and actually see like text that he writes. Mm-hmm. He occasionally writes, maybe like once a week he posts something, but he is funny. So no spaces. And Connor is on various social media at CONORNASH. Also, no spaces. Tune in next time to the Homebrew Game Club when we will be talking about Anguna.
Anguna.
Anguna for the Game Boy Advance, the Atari 2600, and the NES.
Stoked about Anguna. Stoked about it.
Thank you for listening.